Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, and I'm joined by Paul Hoynes, our Tribe beat writer. Paul, the bats are starting to come alive. They're out in the desert.
Yeah, it was good to see, Joe. I think, you know, always, you know, it's a cliche, but usually the pitchers are ahead of the hitters early in camp because they come, you know, they're coming to camp earlier. They get, they start throwing those bullpens and, you know, live BP, and it takes the hitters a little time to catch up. And we saw that yesterday. You know, they hit five home runs in a 6-1 win over Milwaukee. And Max Moroff hit a big home run against Seattle to put him up, and turned out to be the game winner.
Well, not just Max Moroff, but all of the Indians' young outfielders who are really out there competing for jobs and a spot on the roster. You look at a guy like a Daniel Johnson who hit a big home run and had a triple against Colorado earlier in the week. Oscar Mercado has several extra base hits and a home run earlier in the spring. These are guys who know that they're in it to earn a spot on the team, and they're really performing highly right now.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if they're going to win a spot in the team, Joe, but I think they're looking to make an impression. You know, I mean, I think both those guys probably need to play a Triple-A or Double-A again. You know, a little bit more seasoning, but you know, they certainly are getting a chance now. They're getting a lot of at bats early in camp with, you know, some veteran guys being eased into the lineup more. And they're taking advantage of it. You know, Mercado's a speed guy that, you know, we've seen him. I mean, it looks like he's got a good arm, can run to track the ball down. And Johnson, like you wrote today, got a lot of tools. You know, he's got power. He can play all three outfield spots. He's got a good arm, and he can run. And, you know, he came over in the Yan Gomes deal, and he's taking advantage of it. So, you know, everything those guys can do right now is planting a seed for later, sometime down the road. And, you know, Francona and the coaching staff is going to remember these guys. And if, you know, a need arises and they're playing well, they could be on the next bus to Columbus. Yeah, I mean, Cleveland.
From Columbus to Cleveland. Yeah. One thing that Tito did mention about Daniel Johnson, he took, you know, two of the sweetest swings, he said, against left-handed pitching. You know, Johnson, a left-handed bat, not necessarily – what the Indians might have needed in that Yan Gomes trade. They have so many left-handed outfield bats right now, but you know, he was able to stand in there against two of Colorado's better left-handed pitchers and get big hits in that game earlier this week.
Yeah, the triple was against Kyle Freeman, their ace, Colorado's ace, lefty that won like 17 games last mm-hmm. year. So yeah, that'll get you noticed.
And you talk about that Yan Gomes trade. Another piece that came to the Tribe in that deal was Jeffrey Rodriguez, and when he came over, the big question about him was, can he be around the plate? Can he fill up the strike zone? Cut down on his walks? And it looks like he's doing that. He's pitched four innings, hasn't given up a run, and just two walks in those four innings.
Yeah, it's interesting, Joe, because he's pitched two innings each time. So they're kind of stretching him out. They might be looking at him. You know, now this is a guy that I think might be able to make the bullpen. You know, he pitched in the big leagues last year, more of a starter than a reliever for Washington. But this is a guy that, you know, obviously can go two innings. You know, he's got a big arm. He throws in the high 90s. You know, and like you said, control is the issue with him. So, but I think he's helping himself right now.
You mentioned that they're trying to stretch him out. And looking at the way that maybe Tampa Bay has been using their bullpen, not necessarily saying that the Indians need to go with an opener here, which they clearly don't. They've got five guys who can all start for any team in the league. But, you know, maybe to cut down on some of the innings for a guy like a Corey Kluber, or if Shane Bieber, you know, you want to give him a five and fly, you've got Rodriguez maybe stretched out to two innings, and you can bring him in as a guy behind them.
Yeah, I mean, and they need, you know, they need somebody to bridge that gap. You know, I think they need a lot of help in the bullpen, but and one of those roles that has to be filled, you got to get a guy that he can go two or two in the third, two and two third innings. You know, if the starter has to leave early, and you got to, if you got a lead or you got to keep the game, keep the score close, you know, and Rodriguez, you know, he's had a, you know, I haven't seen him under game conditions, but he certainly has, is off to a good start. And that's encouraging, you know, so you've got, we haven't seen, you know, the young infielder, the Indians got, you know, the third player in that deal, Mondesi, or I'm not saying
Monastero.
Yeah, he played a little bit against Milwaukee yesterday, so we haven't really seen him. But you look at Daniel Johnson and Rodriguez, the early returns. You know, the Indians have to be encouraged with that team.
And yeah, like you mentioned, they still haven't seen Tyler Clippard either. You know, come in the guy they signed. So again, like you're talking about the configuration of that bullpen. Maybe they're thinking about Rodriguez in that middle to long sort of role, but yeah, there's a lot more holes that still need to be plugged, and we haven't seen Tyler Clippard know, throw yet. So
he's more of a setup closer guy,
right?
He's
more like an eighth inning guy.
Yeah, so I mean he. You know, so yeah, that's, you know, that's a, I forgot they signed Tyler Clippard. Guys have been coming into the camp so fast. I forgot about Clippard and, you know, Hanley Ramirez. I mean, you know, one after another.
Right. That's
an interesting name.
There are more innings there are more guys out there that need innings than maybe are available innings to pitch right now. If
they're going to have to get some B games or, you know, backfield games with when the minor league kids get in.
Well, and you talk about the backfield games. Tito mentioned yesterday that, you know, they're still slow playing, sort of bringing along slowly Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, and Mike Clevinger. Those guys are still pitching on the backfields and, you know, getting their work in simulated games and won't appear in any exhibition games until they hit the 50-pitch mark, which is usually about like, you know, so they can start a game and go three innings, right?
Yeah, usually it's, you know, I thought, Bauer went three innings already.
That's a horse of a different color.
Yeah, and Mike Leake from Seattle went three innings, I think, yesterday. But, yeah, so I think it's like the third or fourth start. You know, I talked to somebody a couple of days ago, and they said those guys are still about 10 days away from pitching in you know, in spring training games, Cactus League games. So we'll see. I think it's a good idea, you know, especially with Kluber, a lot of mileage on him, you know, and Carrasco, you know, came close to bumped right up against 200 innings, Clevinger 200 innings and 200 plus strikeouts for the first time last year. So you want to be careful with those guys and not rush them into it.
Right, and in the meantime, though, like you mentioned, Bauer, the Indian starters pitchers who have started games in the exhibition slate so far, Bauer, Shane Bieber, even Sam Henches, really have exceeded expectations in that regard. And you mentioned Adam Plutko in his first start, he was lights out. Second start, you know, got through an inning and then got roughed up in his second inning, but again, that's you're talking pretty much every Indians pitcher that started an exhibition game so far this season has shown flashes of brilliance, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bauer was what? I mean, 18 pitches for like three innings or whatever it was. 10 guys, 18 pitches, and Bieber, you know, was like, you know, retired the side in order. Well, he gave up a hit, I guess. No, he retired six straight yesterday against Milwaukee. Yeah, and Hench, you know, the kind of prospect is 6'6" lefty.
Mm-hmm. We got a lefty pitcher for the Indians? What is this?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, and he pitched a scoreless inning in his, you know, Cactus League debut. So that's all encouraging. And Plutko, like you were saying, he pitched really well against, you know, the Cactus League opener against the Reds. And yesterday had a scoreless first inning and then got knocked around in the second, and that's going to happen.
Yeah, Plutko, I think he realizes he's the number six starter. He's not the guy who's going to beat anybody out unless there's God forbid, an injury of any kind. But, you know, if he can go out there and be the ace in Columbus, I mean, I guess that's the most you can ask about him.
Yeah, you know, he's got an option, and you know, he's kind of. He knows the role now. He was up and down five, six times last year. So he knows how to handle that. That's important, you know, just to realize that nobody hates you. That's, you're just the odd man out. This is your turn to ride the train between Columbus and Cleveland. You know, you kind of suck it up and you do that for a year or two. And if you're good enough, you stick when your options are done, or you go somewhere else and maybe they give you a shot, you know? So, you know, that's the way it goes with that.
Speaking of odd man out, and you mentioned him a couple minutes ago, Hanley Ramirez now in camp with the Indians. Another minor league deal with a non-roster invite to big league camp. This is the low risk, high reward sort of move that the Indians are famous for in these last couple of seasons. Bringing in a guy like Ramirez, who has this incredible track record, former Rookie of the Year and All-Star with Miami and Boston, and this is a guy who, if he's Hanley Ramirez from, you know, 3-4 years ago, he gives you that solid middle of the order right-handed bat and can really come in and play DH and be what the Indians need right now.
Yeah, I mean, they need a presence in the middle of the lineup. There's no doubt about that. Like we've talked before on you know, previous podcasts, that they always seem to be a bat or two short, you know, under the, you know, when they came to camp, it looked like they were missing somebody. They were missing somebody to replace Encarnacion, in my mind. And I thought, you know, maybe Hanley Ramirez is a guy. Now, you know, he's in camp. He played a little bit of winter ball, but this is, you know, a guy who hasn't played in the big league since last May. So I think he's going to need some time to probably get in shape, get his legs under him, get his swing down. So it's going to be interesting to see how much he has left and just when, you know, the Indians turn him loose in games.
Is there last year they brought Mike Napoli back as sort of a tryout, like a showcase for other teams or whatever. And they worked him in slowly and he got in. He wasn't like the featured DH in any of their big lineups or whatever. Is that sort of the same kind of role that they're imagining with Hanley Ramirez?
Well, you know, I think it might be a little different because, you know, what, like you were saying, you know, with Napoli, they were doing him a favor. He wasn't going to make the Indians last year. If anything, he was going to open the season in AAA, and they were doing him a favor to get him in a big league camp. And like you said, he's trying out for 29 different other teams. With Ramirez, they want him to make the club. They need him to make this club. And I think he's going to get a lot more opportunities, you know, once he is ready to play. I think they're going to find out real fast about him. I don't think they're going to be dancing around this. They've got to find out how much he has left in the tank.
Well, one guy that they definitely need to find out a little bit more about right now. They know plenty about is Jose Ramirez. Hitless in 6 spring training at bats to this point of the exhibition season. He's in the lineup again on Thursday after playing on Wednesday, which is a bit of an unusual move for a veteran guy, but it looks like they're trying to get him some more at bats and get him to work the kinks out early. And you know, the one thing the Indians didn't need to see happen was the slump that sort of dogged Ramirez through the end of last season to carry over into spring training and potentially the beginning of this season. They need to nip this in the bud.
Yeah, I think they want to, you know, he'll be playing back-to-back, like you said, first time this spring. I would think they want to see him get going. And I would imagine Ramirez is pestering him to play. You know, he wants the at-bats. He wants to, you know, just get it, you know, just get his, you know, just get the swing down. I think he'll be okay. You know, the slump was concerning. It definitely was concerning at the end of the year. Carried over into the ALDS. I think he went 0-11. And so I would think that's a little bit on his mind. It's hard to read what's on Jose's mind sometimes. He's always smiling. But, you know, if you're a ball player and you know how the season ended, no one has to tell you that. And you want to get off to a good start. And I think he gets a couple of hits. I think he'll relax. And, you know, I once saw Andy Thornton go through a whole spring without a hit. The first regular season game with the Indians, he hits a home run, or maybe he hit 2 home runs. So, I mean, let's not overreact to spring training. I mean, that's the biggest mistake you can do. But still, you know, in the back of his mind, I'm sure he would like to go, like to have a two for three day with a couple with maybe a couple of RBIs. I think that would go a long way to settling him down and the fans. I know the fans are already worried about it.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to sound like you know, that guy, but you know, Ramirez is he's struck out with guys on base. He's grounded into double plays, a double play with the guys on base with the bases loaded. You know, these are all symptomatic of, you know, a guy who might be, you know, pressing and all that. And again, it's a month before any of this is even relevant, but it would sure put a lot of people's minds at ease if he went out there and had a couple of knocks and drove in a couple of runs, you know, sometime soon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and he will. I think he's – Joe, I think he's too good of a hitter just to disappear. I don't think he's going to drop off the map here.
All right. All right, well, let's get into some questions. We had a few submissions from listeners, and try to answer as many of those as we can.
Okay, this is an interesting one from Ryan Stefan from Brecksville. Do you think there's any internal debate with the Indians on who's going to be the opening who will be the opening day starter, Bauer or Kluber?
Oh, you're just going to pass over the guy who you signed to an extension in the offseason too? You're not even going to mention Cookie? you're talking opening day, first game of the season, or opening day?
Opening day.
The first game of the season. You put the ball in Corey Kluber's hands, and you don't even think twice about it. I that's not even a question.
I agree, Joe. I think this is a two-time Cy Young winner, finished third last year. He's coming off a 20-win season, and I know Bauer's knocking on the door, and I know there's people that are pushing for Bauer, but. If you want to keep peace in the clubhouse, you got to give the ball to Kluber, I think.
All right. Well, here's an even better question, Paul, and I'll throw this one right back to you. Who takes the ball for opening day 2020 for the Indians?
Now that's a good question. That's a real good question. I would think we'll see more. That'll be based more on this year, you know, performance this year. Let's see if Bauer has the season. You know, he says he's going to have, and everyone thinks he's going to have. If he wins 20 and wins a Cy Young, then, you know, maybe then it gets real, real interesting. And if he's still on the team.
Yeah, well, you're presupposing that Bauer or Kluber is going to be on the team.
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm laying money right now, if you put a gun to my head and told me I had to lay money on a pitcher in this starting five that's going to start the opening game of the 2020 season for the Indians, I'm saying Carrasco.
You could be right.
Because I don't think either Kluber or Bauer is going to be on the team next year.
Well, I think at least one of those guys has got to be on the team. But I'm with you. I think if this goes bad, you know, if they're out of it, mm-hmm. come the middle of July, there's going to be people flying off this roster. The rebuild will really take root then.
Yeah. And it'll be a quick one too.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, we've got, let's see. This is from Ed Wittenberg from Cleveland Heights. I think the Tribe made a major mistake by trading Eric Gonzalez. Now with Lindor hurt, they need a shortstop, and you could have slid Gonzalez right in there. And he might not have been – he might be lacking offensively. But you know, he could have played good defense. What do you think about that, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a major mistake, and I don't think I look at what they got back. They got back a piece of something they needed, which was a right-handed bat in the outfield. They don't necessarily have a lot of those. Jordan Luplo, he might be a fourth outfielder on pretty much every other team in the big leagues, but you know, he has a very good chance of. You know, at least making the club as an outfielder this year. Gonzalez, I don't think he was ever going to hit enough to be a consistent everyday type player. He can play what all four spots on the infield now.
Yeah, he can play all over the place.
So his versatility is incredibly high. But there's a lot of good glove guys out there that you can get, and you know, and Gonzalez was going to eventually become cost prohibitive as well as a utility guy.
Yeah, I think you're right there. You know, as much as I liked Gonzalez, I really liked him. I thought he was going to be a good player. I think it's going to be interesting. He's going to get a chance to play in Pittsburgh. And if he has a good spring, he might be the opening day shortstop. So that'd be fun to see. But I think there's a lot of guys in camp that can do exactly what he would have done. You know, Eric Stamets is a good glove guy. Flaherty has played there. You know, Mike Freeman is laid up, right, with a bad knee right now.
Right,
so
right.
He's not playing. But Max Moroff, you know, so I think there's guys that if Lindor isn't ready, I think there's guys that can go out there and make the routine plays and, you know, not do anything to hurt the team defensively. Now, offensively, obviously, it's going to be a big drop from Lindor.
Right. And, you know, they're very high on Yu Chang, but it almost looks like they're trying to make him more of a third baseman as well. I think he was in one spring training game so far and booted a ball at shortstop. And I think that led to a big inning when he booted that ball in the eighth inning against, was it Arizona? And it led to that big, like, nine run.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, not saying that means anything, but, you know, Yu Chang might need a little more time to develop at that position. And hey, you know, beyond Lindor and beyond 2021, they've got organizationally a lot of hitting depth, a bunch of, you know, it's, it just seems like they've got a half dozen young shortstops coming up through the farm system that are all plus hitters. You know, and if God forbid Francisco Lindor decides he wants to just stay pat and move on, you know, they've got organizational depth with guys that can really hit the ball. A lot of Eric Gonzalez's basically in the organization right now.
This is from George Davis. Now that the Indians have signed Hanley Ramirez, does that mean they're about to sign Julio Franco?
Oh, jeez.
I think he was having a little fun with us.
Yeah, I guess.
Julio Franco might be a better hitter than Hanley Ramirez right now, and Julio's got to be like 50.
Oh, over. God. He's way more than 50. He's got to be in his 60s. I can look that up right now. Hanley looks a little. Hanley shaved off the dreadlocks. He can wear a normal baseball cap now.
Yeah. So, but I think I think Hanley. I think it's a gamble we're taking. I think, you know, with Hanley Ramirez. I think it's, you know, if you need somebody in the middle of the lineup, take a look. If he makes a club, it's only $1 million. You know, so only $1 million.
Only, yeah. That's what you say when it's not yours. Julio Franco, age 60 right now.
60, so. Yeah. Julio could still.
Julio Franco, age 60, probably looks like he's about 25. So
that's right.
I don't know. I still remember when he came back for the last time with the Indians in the 90s and was out there hitting the ball. I just marveled at the fact that he was still playing. It was amazing.
Yep. And one more from Mark Sermon. From I think Stowe, he was talking about he wanted to know what a Super Two player was. You know, when you're like Trevor Bauer is going to be eligible after this season, he'll become eligible for arbitration for a fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's only 3 years if you go three, you know, you're eligible. Every player that has 3 years in the big leagues is eligible for arbitration after that year. But right. The Super Two category is if you fall into the upper 20% of players with more than 2 years and less than 3 years, that makes you a Super Two player. And that's, you know, they always, the cutoff is, you know, there's, I think it's 181 days, maybe 172 days constitute a big league season. And that's, you know, the cutoff date is somewhere around, you know, your service time.
Right. It's all based on your service time. And if a guy was called up maybe early in his first year.
Right.
And spent the majority of the season that year with the team, but necessarily didn't fall under that full year of service time, that's when you start getting into, you know, oh, this guy could be a Super Two. That's why you see guys, why you see teams hold off on calling up their big time prospects. It's to save that extra year of eligibility with them. Like they did, that with Chris Bryant, the Cubs did. And you saw that with Lindor in 2015.
Yeah. So it's usually like the cutoff is usually, I'd say, 2 years, and it goes 130 to 140 days, something like that.
Right.
If you have that, those are the guys that are right on the edge that are eligible for Super 2.
All right. Well, you know, keep the questions coming in, guys. We'll answer as many as we can as spring training progresses. The Indians heading into the weekend, you know, look like they're, you know, starting to get things, you know, getting guys in more regularly. Like you said, Jose Ramirez playing the second game of a back-to-back. We haven't seen Jason Kipnis. We saw Jason Kipnis, I think, only once. I'd be curious to find out what's up with Kip, because he's got two hits and two at bats, and then
we don't see him again. Yeah, that's right. That's that's a good question for somebody to ask Tito.
there you go. And we saw Jake Bowers hit his first home run as a Cleveland Indian as well. So
was good to see, Joe, because I think it looked like he was pressing to me. You know, trying to make an impression. Finally, so he hits one out, and let's see, maybe he can relax now, take a deep breath, and just settle into camp.
And we haven't really seen a lot out of a guy like Matt Joyce, who's been out there.
He's getting a lot of playing time. He's in there today. You know, he's in there again, so they're giving him a chance. So hopefully he takes advantage of it, because they could certainly use a kind of a veteran guy out there in the outfield.
All right, well, we're going to take advantage of a break here. As we talk to you again next week on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast, Paul, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Joe. Thanks, man.